thank God.
Okay.
We thank God for another good morning that we can listen to God's word. I know it's such a blessing. It's such an honor to be in His presence, and it's just such grace. There's no better place than being in God's presence, my brothers. No better place than just trusting in Him and obeying Him and hearing from Him. And I was just thinking about glory, and God was just teaching me this morning about glory. And you know, yesterday we were learning about the authority of the believer. And today we must understand about the part of the reason why the believers have authority is because they have glory. We are clothed with glory. We are clothed with glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. From verse 7, it speaks about the glory of the new covenant. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, from verse 7, it speaks of the glory of the new covenant. And it says, now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? Let us read the second comparison. If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. Let me see if I can open some versions here that will help us really pick some truth into that. Let me go to this digital Bible that is able to throw me everywhere. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse, let me just chop 7 so that we can see when it speaks of this kind of glory that we have in the new covenant. Oh my God. Compare. Okay, fine. Let's look at Amplified Classic. It says that, verse 8, why should not the dispensation of the Spirit, in bracket, the spiritual ministry, whose task is to cause men to obtain and to be governed by the Holy Spirit, close bracket, be attended with much greater and more splendid glory? NIV call it the surpassing glory. King James calls it, for if the ministration, verse 8, sorry, it says, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of the condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by the reason of the glory that excels. Look at the descriptions that we're given. Moses, when he went and met God in the mountain after 40 days of the supernatural fast, where he was just in God's presence, he was not even thinking about food. Because in God's presence, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like a day. That means when you are actually engrossed in God, when you're engrossed in worship, when you lose time, you lose yourself. Our relationship with God is not time-based. It is not about you saying, oh, I prayed for 8 hours. Someone in 1 minute can pray and get more from God than you that prayed in 8 hours, because you are praying in 8 hours in the flesh. It is not the quantity of your prayer, but it is the quality and depth of your prayer that counts. How connected are you in spirit and in truth? When he says, a time is coming when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That means, what is your connection? What is your alignment with the Spirit of God? And what is your alignment with truth? Remember, balance, grace and truth, spirit and truth. How is your spirit and how is your life? How is the two sides of the coin? How is this vessel, this earthen vessel, aligning itself with truth and clothing itself with righteousness and with glory? And that is why, in a moment of time, look at what the devil did. He showed Jesus all the kingdoms of this world. And I'm thinking, it's not even kingdoms of that time. It must have been even kingdoms of the various eons, in a moment of time. And he said that all this was delivered to me. That means that in the spirit, if the devil could have done that, now ask yourself what God does. God can show you in a moment of time all the kingdoms. And actually, the devil was now giving the manifesto of man, the manifesto of Adam. He was showing Jesus, these are all that Adam delivered to me when he served me. And he was saying, I can give them to any man that worships me. And Jesus said, worship God alone. Worship God alone, the owner of all things, the giver of all things, the one who even the devil is claiming that fake authority on. Because the devil has no authority. The only gift he was given one. Actually, he has two skills. One, he was given a skill of deception. When iniquity was found in him, that guy is a deceiver. Aye. Can you imagine someone can even deceive 1/3 of the angels in heaven? The guy led a rebellion and God was not moved. God just looked at him and he sent Angel Michael to deal with him. Because battles are fought at their level. So, since this is an archangel, he just needs another archangel to deal with him. The problems of men are solved with men. That is revelation. That means whatever problem we are having right now, poverty, sickness, cancer, COVID, whichever outbreak will come, is a problem of man. So that means who is to solve it? Man. Huh? It is only man that is to solve it. And which man is going to solve the problems of man? It is the man bearing the Spirit of God. The man who is born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see. He cannot perceive. He cannot have an understanding. He cannot have expressions of the kingdom of God. Now we are being told the law that was given to Moses had some glory. That after Moses meeting the Lord, his face was shining. Ah. His face was shining. And he did not know. That means that. Ah, okay. Sorry. Let me switch then. Just give me a moment. His face was shining. It must be the internet. His face was shining. And since his face was shining, he had no. No understanding of what God was working in him. Why? Because he was reflecting the glory of God. You see, when Jesus, the Bible tells us, when Jesus prayed on the mount, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and he was transfigured before their very eyes. He was transfigured before their very eyes. And as he was transfigured, what happened is that Moses and Elijah came to join him. And they started discussing. And Peter woke up and he saw the light, and he saw how Jesus was covered in glory, and he saw all the light, and he said, and the only thing he can think of is, why don't we stay here forever? Why don't I build a house? Three houses, one for. And you can imagine, in that time of glory, he did not need to ask, is this Elijah? Is this Moses? No one told Peter. No one. Peter had never seen Moses. Peter had never seen Elijah. Maybe to you, if it was you seeing, you would have just seen another old man. Just an old. But in the spirit, you are known. Now, what I want to tell you is this. The believer. Okay, maybe I'll close with that. Let's finish with the glory of God. The ministry of the law came with glory that reflected. And what it tells us is that the glory was fading. That means that the moment Moses left the presence of God, he left the mountain, those guys asked him, please cover your face. Because it is too bright for us. And the Bible says, and every time Moses is red, a veil covers their eyes. Why? Because they asked, God wanted to speak. I wish I can quickly trace that verse. Just give me a moment. I can get it. I think I can get it. It's in one of my notes when I was writing the purpose of prophecy. God's desire was not actually for prophets. That is a hard term. God never actually wanted to use prophets. Where are these notes of mine? God revealed through the prophets. God revealed through the prophets, through the Jacob. Yes, yes, go ahead. Fathers, Israel, nations, yes. So is this verse? What does it say? In Deuteronomy chapter 18, from verse 14 to 16, it says, "The nations you will dispossess, listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so." Verse 15 of Deuteronomy 18. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him." Look at what God is saying. "The Lord your God," verse Deuteronomy 18, "will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites, you must listen to him. Then verse 16, what it says, for this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God nor see this great fire anymore or we will die. God was basically telling them that I will raise for you a prophet from you for the simple reason that you yourself say that you don't want to interact with me directly. The reason God gives us men is because we refused and we believe that God cannot speak to us and cannot interact with us directly. Imagine God could speak to Cain, a murderer, and start communicate with him so fluently. And yet we believe that God cannot speak to us. Let me spoil it further, that you have to fast 33 months so that you hear the voice of God. You want to just hear the voice of your father. And you say, let me take hunger strike to hear his voice. And he's wondering, what is wrong with this child of mine? I can just speak to you now. You can hear my voice now. The glory that is you carry is me. That we have trapped the presence of God inside us. It's not even a trap. He himself, he said, the Holy Spirit that will come and he will bring Jesus and the Father and we will make our dwelling in you. Yesterday we were reading Romans chapter 10 from verse 5, 6, 7, 8. That do not ask who will go to heaven and bring Christ from there or who will descend to hell and bring Christ from down there. You're not supposed to be asking God come. You're not supposed to be asking Christ come from down or Christ come from up. It's just supposed to be saying, the word is near you, it is inside me. God, I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. That angels are ascending and descending and now ascending and descending from me. Those messengers of those angels that people like telling us they have seen, those angels are ascending and descending from us. They are ascending and descending from the temple, from that stone of Jacob, from the temple, from us who are the temple, from the Son of God who was Jesus. He told Nathaniel, what will you do when you see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man? That ascension and descending is happening in you. You just don't know the glory that you carry. And that's why he's saying that, how can the ministry that brought condemnation had glory? It had glory, yes. The people were scared of the face of Moses. Yet it brought condemnation. Yet it brought death. Yet it could not achieve righteousness. The law can never achieve righteousness. Yes, it achieved some form that men could actually be judged on it and God would have mercy. That year after year they will bring the blood of bulls and it will cover their sin. The word there Jesus was cover their sin. But the blood of Jesus washes and blots out our sin. Blotting out, it means like it does not exist. It blots it out entirely and we receive the righteousness of God. Now, the ministry that we have received is one of righteousness. The dispensation we are in of the Spirit is far much greater than the dispensation of the law. The glory that we have now is a glory that excels, a glory that surpasses, a greater glory, a glory that lasts. So, therefore, I love how the Bible says it gives you some hard truth. Eh? And this is how this guy, what is the Paul loves to teach. Eh?
He gives it to you as it is. You meditate first. And then now he tells you, now therefore. What does that mean, therefore? It says, now after you have understood this glory that is in you, what are you supposed to do? Verse 12. It says, 2 Corinthians 3, therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very, very bold.
I like that.
That means you cannot be a fearful man and you carry the glory. How can you fear men? How can you fear being sacked? How can you be fear being killed? In fact, if they kill you, they are releasing you into glory. Because in this body, your glory is just trapped. I tell you, if God is to open our eyes to see how we look like in the spirit, my God, we are created better than angels. People are worshiping things that are created to serve them. Aren't angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Angels, that's why it says, let no one disqualify you from the false worship of angels. They go into great depths trying to tell you what their futile minds is thinking. You know, the mystery of God is that he has hidden this glory in flesh. We just don't know what God has hidden in us, my God. That means when you see someone, you're just seeing his flesh, but you don't know the glory that is in him that God has hidden. And that's why he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, to show that this all-surpassing glory is not from us, but from him. For while we are in this tent, we groan and we are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Please read 4, 5. You will read more because he's teaching more about this glory. That for while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling so that the mortal may be swallowed up by life. The mortality may be swallowed up by immortality. The only reason we are groaning, when you're in prayer and you start to groan, now that moment when you are groaning, that is your flesh groaning and asking, clothe me with more glory, clothe me with the immortal, clothe me with life. That is why it says, as we gaze and as we behold on the glory, we are being transformed into his likeness. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. We don't have veiled faces. Now we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. We are not covered with a veil now. We see clearly. We see the kingdom of God clearly. Don't think that the kingdom of God is something you will see with your physical eyes. It is something that you will understand in your spirit. I know many of us want to see angels. Oh, we want to open our eyes. The greatest sight is the one that you see in the word and the one that you understand and the one that you believe. Visions are not the hallmark of the speaking of God. In fact, God himself said that. He told the Israelites, if I raise up a prophet, what do? I speak to him in dreams. I speak to him in visions. I speak to him in dark sayings. I give him ideas. I give him what? Trances. But to Moses, I speak to him face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Now, God is telling you that the glory that he has given us in the spirit is better than the one of Moses. That means your focus should not be looking for visions and dreams. Your focus is just to say, God, talk to me as your father, as your friend. In fact, Jesus said, no greater love as this. I no longer call you servants. I call you my friends. Now God is telling you that interact with me as a father and a son. The same way you can talk with your father. Just talk. There is no need for halabaloo. Oh, you have to be pierced and sanctimonious and sentimental. It is only when you have kneeled. It's only before the communion. It's only when you have the gowns, when you have what, that you can talk with your father.
My God, if you knew the glory that the believer has, right now you can just be saying, oh God, thank you. Oh, what is that I'm supposed to read? Oh, okay. This is the question you're coming in the interview. Okay, interesting. Okay, I'll read. So what do you want me to do? And he's just talking to you. Like I can tell you this morning, just 1 hour before I woke up, he just started teaching me this glory business. And he has given me the whole sermon. All I'm telling you is just what I was taught this morning. I don't have any notes. He just started teaching me about glory. Just said, let me teach you about glory. I said, God, should I keep it for myself? I said, no. Whatever I've told you, speak it out. It's the revelation for the people. Let the believers know their authority. Let them know the glory they carry. And this glory keeps increasing. As you behold. Hey, what does it say? And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness, into his image. Remember, we lost the image of God when we sinned, when Adam sinned, and all of us sinned. The image of God was distorted. Now the image of God is restored in Christ. So the new creation has the image of Christ as he is in this, as he is. So are we in this present world, as he is seated in heaven, as with the, when you read the glory of God, the glory of Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, how he looks so majestic, like a rainbow, like what, everything. The Bible tells us, as he is, so are we in this present world. It's only that we are now covered in flesh. Go and spoil your mind reading those verses, my brother. It says that we are being transformed, we are being conformed, we are being changed, we are being metamorphosed. The word there is metamorphosis, you know, like a butterfly. The word, that transformation there is metamorphosis. That is a change in form. The butterfly can no longer be an egg. It can no longer be a pupa, a larva. It can no longer be a pupa. That's why the Bible says creation has been groaning, has been subjected to groaning for the revelation, for the manifestation of the sons of God. The sons of God just don't know who they are. That's why it says, I've seen a thing under the sun, that slaves ride on horseback and princes are walking on foot. Such a sad thing under the earth, that the sons of God, the sons of the kingdom, are the ones who are walking on foot. They are the princes. The sons of God are walking on foot, and the sons of the devil are the ones who are riding horseback, riding the V8s, because that was their means of transport in that time. Sons of light, awake. Sons of light, come to your glory. Sons of light, believe in your glory. And if you don't know Jesus, all this is nothing to you. You'll never experience his glory. You'll never understand it. But you can if you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you believe in your heart that you shall be saved, and you are saved. And you believe, you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when he's Lord, that means he becomes your master. Salvation starts with saying, Jesus, you are my master. Now, everything you want me to do, tell me what I must do. Lord, I will obey. So it's not for license for sin, but now it is license to obey, license to hear the voice of the master. And that is why you will hear him. Many Christians passed that, skipped that class of Jesus being Lord. Go back to it.
and then believe that he raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. And then find a Bible believing church, or continue listening to this audio, whatever channel you've gotten them through. Telegram, search for Emmanuel Roba, Spirit and Life. That's it. You'll find it more. And find other believers and other servants of God. I'm not the only one. There are many servants of God who are teaching this truth, this present truth. Find them and follow them, and you'll know the truth. God bless his word. My brother, you're welcome. Nothing. Okay. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the revelation of glory. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. May that word sink in us as we meditate on it, as we reflect on it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Adios, my brother. Bye-bye. God bless.